to talk about the subject of eating, why we eat what we eat, why we eat when we eat, and why we eat how much or how little we eat. There's a lot of psychology involved, a lot of physiology involved, a lot of the brain telling the mouth that it's time to eat a lot or time to eat very little. The subject of eating is fascinating, and we won't even scratch the surface here in this 15-minute segment.
No, because you got to do it for survival, but we also see it as pleasure, too.
Right.
And that's what screws you up.
Eating's so tricky because I think that for a lot of us, especially in a country that's as rich as America is and plentiful as America is, we eat basically out of addiction.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this when we were talking with David Faraday. You know, David Faraday famously got his stomach chopped in half. I forget which procedure that's called. I think the sleeve is what he got.
Sleeve, yeah.
And because David was, I think he's lost 60, 70 pounds, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I have an addictive personality, and my problem was is that I could quit alcohol and pills and all the things, whatever David was doing. He said, because those weren't necessary. So I could just completely quit them. But you can't quit eating. And the problem is, with an addict, one bite leads to another, and David was overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and George, you've lost weight, and I've lost weight, put it on, you know, lose it again,
yeah,
that sort of thing. I eat for all the wrong reasons most of the time. I'll eat when I'm anxious, when I just want a break, when I want a respite from work, whatever I'm working on, I go eat.
A reward?
A reward. Yeah. Yeah. Food as reward as opposed to food as sustenance. Eating emotionally is so bad, but yet I would do it all the time, and it's just recently that I've examined that and realized whenever I feel like I want to go get something to eat, I always have to ask myself, wait, why do I want to eat right now? And most of the time, 90% of the time, it'll not be because I'm starving.
Right. It's because you want that reward, that pleasure. And that's one thing I've learned during this MetaFast thing. Is a long time ago, you mentioned that, hey, I think I'm a food addict. I remember thinking, okay, everyone eats. Everyone likes food. I remember thinking that that was crazy. But I found out here in the last 8 weeks that I am addicted to food. I am an addict. And it's like that is my crack. And I can't tell you how many times in the last 8 weeks I'd go through a bakery or cooking for other people and just wanting to unhinge my jaw and smoke all that crack.
Right.
You know, I mean, just load it up. And I was like, why have I turned into this? Why? And I don't know. I don't really know the reason outside of it is it is so.
It's something in our lizard brain that just, we want reward.
Yes.
Give me pleasure. I want to eat that food and that food and that food. And you guys have seen me do this. I'll do this at a restaurant. There are two things on the menu I like a whole bunch, or I want to try both of them. I'll just order two entrees.
Yeah.
Now, I may not finish both of them.
But you get that pleasure of
but I want the pleasure. I want that, and I want that, and I want a dessert.
Yeah.
And then I want a little coffee afterwards.
And see, and here's
meanwhile,
the
I got
thing.
Rex Ryan, or Rob Ryan belly.
Well, here's the other thing. I was brought up, not on junk food and stuff, but, you know, my parents were the older generation, depression generation.
This golf music is driving me nuts.
And, all right, switch out the music. And we used to, I mean, we had three squares a day, and it was always, you know, protein, vegetable, and fruit. And it was, you know, smaller portions. And, you know, my mom never bought sugar cereals and all that.
You grew up healthy.
And I was skinny. And I told you guys yesterday, the thing I wanted to do in high school more than anything was to gain weight. And I couldn't do it. And I ate more than most of the horses in the state of Texas and could not gain weight until we went off to college. Then I ate even more because we had a competition to see who could swipe their meal card the most at West Hall. And it was sometimes 8 or 9 times a day.
Plus, at night, we would always get beer and pizza.
Right. And wash it down with some beer and pizza. I mean, it was just a food orgy every day.
And see, this is a great debate, because look at the way you grew up. Eating well, small portions, balanced meals.
Yes.
And then you will unhinge your jaw on any pie, cake, dessert, yeah. junk food, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's the other argument, which is if you grow up with poor eating habits, then you'll have poor eating habits as an adult. And I know several people like you, Giorgio, and I have this argument with them because they say the reason they eat so poorly now is because they were deprived of junk food when they were a kid.
Yeah.
And then when they were able to make their own choices for themselves, it was unhinging a jaw and stuffing a box of Lucky Charms in it.
Yeah.
And eating hamburgers, anything they could, because their parents didn't let them have that. So what's the which one is
it?
I
don't know.
Is it just that adult human beings are destined to eat horrible food for themselves, that they have to fight against that tendency no matter what their upbringing was, because our bodies, because we evolved during such deprivation, we just crave fats and sugars. The body, the human body craves that because that's what we had, we did not have. We basically lived in starvation the whole time we evolved. We were starving creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And so those things were very sought out. You wanted things that sated you that way.
See, I'm the opposite of you two guys, and I would think George would be more like me because I don't think you have an addictive personality.
I really don't.
Because you don't drink a lot or you never smoked or did drugs or anything like that. You don't seem to be an addictive type, and I'm not. I don't have an addictive personality. I think my governor has always been, I have a very poor sense of smell, thus I think I have a poor sense of taste. To me, I don't get those cravings. When I walk by a bakery and see a bunch of cookies, I don't even think twice about it. I don't want to go in there and unhinge my jaw.
Boy, I
do. When I see anything, now I enjoy certain foods, you know, there are certain dinners that I have and I think, wow, that was great and I could eat a ton of that, but I never have that craving. For my entire life, food has just been what I have to eat to keep living. It's a job. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner to me has always just been a job. I've never really, man, I can't wait for dinner because I want to eat so much of this food. I look at it as, oh, it's 6 o'clock and I know I've got to refuel my body and this is just what I have to do to live. So 3 times a day, I've just got to make some time to eat because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've done a good job, too, of keeping up with your physical activity, which burns an ungodly amount of calories between cycling and running,
yeah,
which
but
really helps you.
But exercise is not the way to lose weight. It's always eating.
Not always, no. I mean,
eating is. You never exercise to lose weight. You should exercise to be healthy,
right?
To be physically fit. But you never exercise to lose weight. People who unhinge their jaw on horrible things and then think, well, I'll just go run this off. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, you'll still be unhealthy, but you'll be exercising.
Right.
I read once when I was a kid in a cycling book about this old Italian coach, and his philosophy always stuck with me. If you don't do much that day in terms of physical exertion, then leave the dinner table hungry. If you do a lot, if you have a really long training ride, then fill yourself up.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people leave the table filled up no matter what they do that day.
Well, a lot of people don't know that they're filled up because we eat so darn fast. You're shoveling food in, and it takes a good 15 minutes after your belly is full for it to reach your brain, but you don't know. The only way you know to stop eating is when you've put the last bite in your mouth.
And see, I developed that habit as a kid because basically dinner time was, like Junior described, a job. Oh, geez, I got to go home. I can't play baseball. So it was, can I down this plate within 5 minutes? And get back out and start playing football or baseball.
Instead of eating slowly, taking time with the meal, and then you allow your mind to catch up with your stomach and that sort of thing. Yeah. And think of the horrible lesson we give kids, or used to give kids, maybe some people still do this, that, you know, clean your plate. You got to eat everything on your plate. It doesn't matter when you're full. I don't care about that. I don't want to hear that. Because I don't want you hungry later. So you eat everything on your plate, and then I'll reward you with a slice of pie. Whatever that sweet thing that you want.
I'll even feed you more.
Whatever that thing you want to eat right now, I'll feed you more if you just down this ungodly amount that I've heaped on your plate already.
Talking about taking your time, I read one article that said the most important thing you could do is to slow down to the point where you overchew your food. You're supposed to chew it and then chew it some more and then chew it some more, and that aids in digestion. It aids in dispersing the minerals and vitamins to your body. And none of us do that. Don't we all just woof it down as fast as possible?
Yes. It's a struggle for me to slow down while eating.
Yeah.
Here's another level.
I want to finish real quick.
Of how
all
we
play.
Here's another level of how we screw ourselves up. It's become such a social thing. You're going to have people over to your house. Well, what are we going to eat? We got to have something not only to eat, but something really good to eat. And it would be great if we, you know, had something that was, you know, probably something you're not supposed to eat, and desserts and all this stuff.
It's got to be a lot.
Yeah,
because we don't want them to go away hungry.
No, the worst possible thing is if we didn't have enough food. What if we don't have enough food?
Right. And have you ever felt guilty about how much food you and your family throws away?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I mean, I would say half of the grocery store trips that I make and the hauls that I bring home, half of that food ends up in the garbage eventually.
Yeah. I mean, the call is always made, hey, I'm on my way home from the grocery store. Could you throw out all the stuff that we didn't eat this week so we can have room for this? It's terrible.
Man, I totally forgot about this turkey down there. Golly, I forgot. Man, I already have 4 boxes of this particular cereal. I just forgot it was in the back of the thing. I didn't make a list before I went to the grocery store, and I just bought whatever.
Because we have this fear we're going to run out of food.
Yeah.
We are not going to run out of food.
There's an article in Psychology Today talking about the psychology of eating.
Good morning.
And how anxiety and stress triggers something in the brain that makes us crave fatty food. Anxiety and stress that we go through on a daily basis tells the brain the body's in trouble, the body's in danger, something is stressing it. And so the body's reaction is to eat lots of fatty food, to store energy to handle the stress that the body's going through. It's a survival mode that kicks in when you're stressed. So the more stress we have, and I guess we would all agree that every year that goes by, society and life gets more stressful and busier. And that may be one reason why we have the obesity problem in this country, because there's so much stress. And I know there are many other reasons, fast food and processed food and all of that. And that probably plays as big or bigger role.
Everything made of corn syrup.
Right. But the fact that a lot of us find our escape from stress in fatty foods, and we don't even realize it, but that's what the brain is telling us to do. That's our nature.
Well, here's one reason that I eat. Like I told you, it's a rest. It is a respite. Because when you're eating, well, I'm eating. I mean, this is what I do. I'm eating. So I can't be answering email. I can't be working on this. I can't be doing that. So I look for any excuse to go and eat, because then it's dedicated time. It's the same principle as why I always feel so relaxed once I get on an airplane. Well, I have nothing else I can do. I can't be making a bunch of phone calls. I can't be answering email. I can't be writing this, doing this.
You can eat on a plane.
Right. Isn't that wonderful? Double respite.
Do you know what I do when I go home for lunch every day? I fix my plate, and then I sit down at the computer. I'm reading while I'm eating, so it's not even an escape for me.
See, I can't eat and watch TV at the same time. Because this is one of my problems with TV watching, is because I have to watch it so intensely.
Yeah, you look down at your plate.
I pause to look down at my plate to eat my next bite.
Yeah, I don't
like
watching
TV. And then I get so beaten by doing that, I just like, man, I'm turning off the TV or whatever. I can't eat and watch TV at the same time.
You miss half the show.
However, they say that over half of American families, they eat their dinner in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Which is also
socially,
bad.
That's not good either, because you're not talking to one another. And
also, your attention is distracted from how much you're eating. You're just shoveling food, so you're not even thinking about that because you're engrossed in the program, so you're not listening to your body when it's full.
I just think about leaving lunch yesterday, and I was fine. Had a very healthy salad with grilled chicken and everything. And then we left, and we saw that bakery where Gordo had the line of what he wanted to do to that bakery that had...
It was like
pies,
a 40-foot-long shelf
cookies.
Of pies and cakes, you know, all on an individual little plate. You know, slice of cake here, slice of cake, slice of pie, different variety of pie, different variety. And it was just a whole endless stream of heaven. And I said that I wanted to convert that whole shelf to a conveyor belt and get at the end of it and just open up my mouth.
Just one by one, they just dump it to his mouth.
Yeah, I don't even have to feed myself. It just comes to me.
See, I think of it so much as a job, that every day I am keeping track of, okay, I know you're supposed to eat a certain amount of servings of vegetables and fruit. Okay, I've got to get those done. I know you're supposed to eat some carbs because I got to fuel my body, and I know I'm supposed to have this protein. And I to me, it's a beating. It's a job. And at the end of every day, I think, okay, did I get my proper amount of vegetables and protein and all of that stuff? We were talking yesterday how great it would be to just take a pill. And I would do that. I would be, if wake up every morning, take a pill, and you get everything you need, and it's healthy, and it's, you know, not just like a vitamin.
It's called meth. Try it.
I think I would go for that, and it would eliminate such pressure from my daily existence of what am I going to eat? Where am I going to eat it? Is it going to be what I need?
So you do that at the end of the day, wonder if you've eaten enough vegetables and wonder if...
Yes. Every
day. At the end of the day, my only food question is, did I eat enough hamburgers?
Did I eat enough hamburgers?
Let's take some calls on eating talk to Scott and Anna. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Morning, boys.
Morning.
And for starters, George, I have to admit, I saw you the other night on Ducey's Sports Orgy, and you look a lot different. Your body changed quite a bit. But one, the other thing is, I think the way we eat, at least I know for me, is in accordance to the weather and the environment. I'm outside all day, every day, this time of year. I eat virtually nothing in the morning, nothing during the day, and a little at night. Versus in the wintertime, I'll have a heavier breakfast and a heavier dinner in the evening. And I think a lot of it is determined by what your environment's like. If you're get cool and you're in a comfortable environment all day, I think you're going to be more prone to eat more. But if you're out there and your body's under stress, if you eat a heavy meal, I think it just puts your body under more stress, makes you sick, and I think it, or worse, you know?
But tastes good.
Yeah. I know. I'm hungry in the summertime, too.
What about Tobin's theory? He says, our parents bought real food and cooked. Today, parents don't have time for daily shopping. They have to shove nuggets into their kids' mouths on their way to soccer practice. The faster our lives move, the faster we must consume. And the food industry is just keeping pace with our active lifestyles, so we're eating more fast foods and things like that.
I'm pretty convinced we're screwing up kids now. I mean, I think our parents had the right idea with cooking real food and giving us those balanced meals, and we screwed ourselves up by not continuing that once, at least in my case,
But it's so easy now, man. You just buy stuff. It's already
it's everywhere.
Done. Mm-hmm. Now you can buy like a frozen pizza and it has hot wings inside the box with it. And, I mean, it's just...
Right. You get a dollar off the cola with it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It just feels like we're in an orgy of food right now and everybody just violently scraping stuff into their mouths.
All right, let's go to Shad in Dallas. You're on the ticket.
Yeah, I want, actually, Muses. But the first thing that I've noticed with the food intake is that a lot of times it's rooted in fear. And going back to your grandma or your mom and dad, you know, who grew up during the Depression and telling you to finish eating your plate, they're telling you to finish eating your plate because they think subconsciously that there may not be food around the corner. You know,
yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. There's just this cultural lag time between when we didn't have enough food and now, but we still have the same ideas like we don't have enough food. We still eat like we don't have enough. We got to clean your plate. You never know when you're going to get your next meal. It's a sin to waste food. Mm-hmm. But the thing people don't realize is that you're wasting food even if you're eating it. Not only is your body can't use it, but it's going to cause you diabetes and everything else. It's wasting more by being put in your body than it is if you just threw it in the trash.
Let alone what you're doing to the sewer system.
He mentioned the
it's right.
Depression. That's another reason that a lot of people say that they eat or overeat depression. You know, people go home and they're depressed and so they eat a gallon of ice cream.
Right. Mm-hmm. They want a little reward.
Mm-hmm. They want to feel
some
good.
Happiness in a carton.
They felt bad all day long. That's their one 15 minutes to feel good is down some Bluebell.
So, George, you brought up the great point of why can't we have a social occasion that's not centered around food? I grew up in the Deep South. That's all what it was about. Man, every family get-together just had this huge buffet of food. Everybody bringing something.
Yep.
And you had to show love to them by eating whatever they brought.
Right.
And they had to show love to you by heaping more on your plate than you could possibly handle. But that's what they gave you. They gave you this food.
So. Yeah, the Southern woman's so offended if her dish at the party does not go.
Oh, yeah.
If
it doesn't go.
It didn't go.
It didn't go. Did you see what she brought? It didn't go.
All right, that's Eating Talk. It is 8:35 on Sports Radio 1310. The